Hanno Astey Mitaka Yapi. I'm Peter Kide Chante, and I speak to you today from a glad heart, offer you my hand. I said, hello, my relatives. Good morning, my relatives. I'm with the of the Ocheti Shakoing Oyate. That means the Seven Starfire Nation. I said I was born here at Imini Jaska, otherwise now called St. Paul. Grateful to have a chance to be in this place where I was born.
Ushun and Dinaway Maganaduk. Greetings, all my relatives. My name is Little Stone Woman. I am Grand Traverse Band Odawa and Ojibwe from Michigan, and I'm Bear Clan, Makwa and Dude.
To reach Wakantipi, you have to cross over a few freeways and railroad tracks and find your way to the base of the bluffs of St. Paul's east side. It seems like a deserted space filled with industry, vacant buildings, and long-abandoned squatter towns like Sweet Hollow. Today, though, it is known as Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary, and you'll find bike trails and walking paths running through short prairie grasses and rows of young oak trees. But for Jim Rock, a longtime Eastside custodian of the space, the term sanctuary does not do justice to the history and meaning of this place for the Dakota people.
The term sanctuary, you know, and when we hear this term, Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary, BVNS, it's Wakantipi at Imenija Ska.
In Dakota, Wakantipi is difficult to translate. Roughly, it means the white sand water place where the power of life resides. In other words, this place, this former cave where the rivers come together, has been a center of the Dakota universe for thousands of years. But for the past century, Wakantipi has mostly been a run-down industrial wasteland where people seem to dump trash and get drunk by the train tracks that still today carry 20% of the freight traffic in the United States. To Jim and Roxanne, this juxtaposition feels strange.
A place of much movement, activity, energy. The fossil fuels that make this motion possible is our ancient mother jungle. See, they see resources. We see the source.
It's challenging to meditate and be in this place the way that you should be. But we're not going to let it stop us from being here.
Before Wakantipi became parkland in 2005, Jim and Roxanne would come down here and tend to the waters and caves along the bluff, the last remnants of the sacred native spaces destroyed by the railroads and urbanization of the 20th century. They even got married here next to a pool at the site of an old cave once covered in Indian paintings. For Jim Rock, to see the sacred land today is a sign of progress.
To see these ponds now and these walking paths and this limestone, it gives a sense of what it must have been like. However, none of this is original, except for these large stone walls.
Roxanne Gould sees the changes at Wakantipi as a metaphor for the resilience of the Dakota people, a survivor of the Wendigo or cannibal nature of European colonialism.
The way that my people look upon this is that it was like a great Wendigo that came upon us, that just had this insatiable appetite to consume everything, you know, in its midst. Wakantipi is really a metaphor for what has happened to the Dakota people themselves.
For Jim and Roxanne, restoring Wakantipi is just the beginning of the kind of change that has to happen across the whole of the earth.
It wasn't only Native people who felt the need to restore this place, but the people in the neighborhood. The non-native people, the people of the city, the people of the county, and the Park Service said, no, this place is worth saving, that we're going to restore it. And this is really what needs to happen across the globe.
For now, Jim and Roxanne remain frustrated by some of the narratives and interpretive signs around the sacred space of Wakantipi, signs that describe the old brewery or the railroad development that helped to destroy much of the land around. Meanwhile, freight trains and joggers pass the site of the Wakantipi cave, nobody seeming to know that this had been a sacred center of the universe for thousands of years. For KFAI Radio, this is Bill Indicate.